Radha Krishna Pranayati Kriti Lani Shakti Asmat is referring to the position of Srimati Radharani as the Ladini Shakti, the one who can please Krishna. Krishna is not pleased by or attracted by the beauty of the material world or by the opulence of the material world. One cannot attract Krishna by offerings of gold. One cannot attract Krishna by mountains of jewels. One cannot attract Krishna by being very powerful or by being extremely learned. All these things cannot attract Krishna, because all these things are of the material world. These are temporary attributes which we may possess for a while, but which never are really our property. Because in this world, we are given so many gifts to care for. We were trained in Krishna consciousness that when a book was ours, we should write "in the care of" and then your name. You cannot say, "this is my book." No, "in the care of." So everything in the material world is in our care. Even our children are not our children. They're in our care. They're spirit souls who are just for a while in our care. Only Radha and Krishna is the actual reality, and everything else is illusion. We are getting concerned about so many things that are actually not factual, not real, because reality really is Radha and Krishna. That is where real life is. Only she. She can exclusively capture the mind of Krishna to a point where his constant meditation is only of Srimati Radharani. There is really nothing else, no one else that can capture Krishna. We have a description that Krishna is engaging in loving exchanges with unlimited goddesses of fortune. Not one, but unlimited goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi, Sahasra, Satasambrahma, Siva, hundreds and millions, it says in the Brahma Samhita, elsewhere it says unlimited goddess of fortune. But yet, all of these goddess of fortune combined cannot approach Srimati Radharani, who is 7% Krishna's counterpart, who is 7% dedicated to Krishna. So this day is a day of unalloyed pure devotional service. And it is the day where all are trying to render service to Radha and Krishna. We cannot separate Radha and Krishna. We may celebrate Radhastami, but we cannot separately focus on Srimati Radharani today, because that would not be Srimati Radharani. There is no question of separating Srimati Radharani from Krishna. Radha and Krishna is the reality. Where one is absorbed in service to the other, that actually is our focus. Srimati Radharani is the feminine counterpart of Krishna, and therefore she is... No problem. Just put on silent. She is the feminine counterpart of Krishna, and therefore described as soft-hearted. That is really, for us, the most important point. Her soft-heartedness is what makes her inclined. And it is said that if one first pleases Srimati Radharani somehow or other, then through her introduction, Krishna will accept us. And therefore, devotees are turning to Srimati Radharani. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is explaining the nature of Radha Dasya and is explaining that to serve as the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. This is Radha Dasya, this spirit of not thinking that we are able to please Krishna directly, but rather pleasing Krishna through a superior Vaishnava. That spirit is always there. And thus, also in this world, we are serving through the superior devotee, through the spiritual master, who is the representative of both Radha and Krishna. And in that way, we are approaching Srimati Radharani. That is our line. We are known as the followers of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Nugars. Rupa Goswami is known as Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is one of the intimate devotees, intimate gopis, who is assisting Srimati Radharani and the Astasakhi. Srimati Radharani, she expends herself in the Astasakhi. These eight sakis are direct extensions of Srimati Radharani, and they are simply manifesting her different moods. Each one, although they are individuals, still they all have different moods, and they're actually expansions of Srimati Radharani. Then they are also of that same nature of the Ladini Shakti. They are Shakti Tantra. They are of that particular expansion of Krishna known as the Ladini Shakti. Whereas we are of a different Shakti, the Jiva Shakti. And so is Srila Rupa Goswami. He is Jiva Shakti. He is, or Rupa Manjari is Jiva Shakti. So the gopis who are Manjaris, who are Jivas, who are living beings, they are the assistants of the Astasakhi, who are the assistants of Srimati Radharani. At least that is our line. Amongst all these hundreds and millions of devotees, there are, of gopis, there are different groups. Some are part of the group of Srimati Radharani. Some are in competition. It is described that Srimati Radharani appeared in Vrindavan. Others say that actually these two children were kidnapped by Putana and then dropped into the dam because one Brahmana was chanting demon-killing mantras and Putana became afraid, so they say. Rupa Goswami describes it like that. He says, Rupa Goswami explains the truth. And Rupa Goswami says that actually, Srimati Radharani and Chandravali, they both are sisters. And actually they were first in the womb of the respective wives of Maharaj Visabhanu and of Maharaj Chandrabhanu, two brothers in Vraj. Subsequently, by the arrangement of Yogamaya, who tends to do these kind of things more often, they were taken out of the womb of their mothers and placed into the womb of another mother, the queen of the Vindhya mountains, personified. These Vindhya mountains, it is described, are in the center of India. They are dividing India. There is the north of India is known as the Panchagoda, or five different areas of Goda, and the south is known as Panchadravida. And the middle of India, the separation of the two, are the Vindhya mountains. Not so far, they're from our Ujjain, that site, sort of, the Vindhya mountains. It says the Vindhya mountains, amongst mountains, were competitive in spirit, and young and proud, and were growing very rapidly, and even tried to rival Mount Meru. It said then once, to correct that, the sage Agastya came. And Agastya came, and then the mountain offered obeisances to Agastya. And Agastya said, "Very nice. Now you just stay like that until I return." And he never returned. So since then, the Vindhya mountains are smaller. So the Vindhya mountains still desired some special recognition. And it was arranged that they conceived the two daughters, Srimati Radharani and Janakibabu. Then on the order of council, who had given order that all the children were to be, who were newly born, were to be kidnapped. And Kamsa had said, "You kill all the boys and you keep the girls," which is typical for the demoniac mind. And subsequently, these two girls were carried by Putana. But as she was flying above Raj, one of the Brahmanas of India chanted that demon-killing mantra. And it said, then the two girls dropped, and so they wound up in different places. And this morning, Bhakti Nisringa Maharaj, he told us how Srimati Radharani then was found in a golden lotus flower by Maharaj Vrishabhanu. How she was blind, but how at the birth, and that was a sad thing. But anyway, Krishna came and along with his parents, and when Krishna looked at the child, then the child opened her eyes for the first time. And as such, the appearance of Srimati Radharani took place in this universe. These pastimes are described like that. Srimati Radharani is somehow or other appearing where Krishna is. So when Krishna was in Gokul, she appeared not far from there. Later, when they shifted, when Krishna went to Nandagram, then her family also shifted to Varsana. And in this way, they stayed close. It says from there, they were communicating with one another. They communicated in all possible ways. One way that is described is even through smoke signals. The original smoke signals started between Radha and Krishna. Then, Srimati Radharani, the problem was that she was exquisitely beautiful. And therefore, the fame of her beauty was spreading everywhere, and Kamsa had heard about it. So there was a great concern that Kamsa might, try and capture this girl, and that, of course, would be a great disaster. And therefore, they decided to quickly marry her off. And they made some very quick marriage with Abhimanyu. And in the Vidakta Madhava, Rupa Goswami has Nandamukhi speaking, who says, never was there a worse match than Abhimanyu and Srimati Radharani. How was it possible that such an arrangement was made? Then Purnamasi says, well, actually, it's not a real marriage. It's not a real marriage, Abhimanyu. It's just a camouflage. It's just a cover-up, simply to make it appear like that. It is just Abhimanyu. Is just sort of symbolically her husband, right? But he never ever even touched her. He's just simply there to sort of send a signal to Kamsa. She's married, right? So forget about her. And Kamsa was still a little cultural compared to the demons of today. What to say of the demons? Even the devotees of today are sometimes not so cultural anymore in this regards, you know, compared to Kamsa, who was very cultural and who was therefore not so inclined towards another man's wife, one can be said. So that was the plan for the time being. Still, they were careful. They were careful of Kamsa. But from that time on, Srimati Radharani resided in Yavat, not in her birthplace, Rabaul, which Maharaj described this morning, but in Yavat. And Yavat is the place which is particularly there to bring out the mood of separation. Yavat makes the relationship between Radha and Krishna even more precious. Even more precious than it already is. In Yavat, because Srimati Radharani is living there with her mother-in-law, Jyotima, who is somehow or other the one personality in all of Vrindavan who is just, who has no appreciation for Krishna at all. Right? And her daughter, Kuntila, is described in the Nectar of Devotion. And it says, Kuntila is so beautiful. She has breasts like string beans and a belly like a pot. And she, because of her exquisite beauty, is beyond any attraction for Krishna. So in this way, she was living there, Srimati Radharani, with her in-laws in a very difficult situation. But that situation was just perfect. It was perfect to facilitate Parakya Ras. Because the essence of the relationship between Radha and Krishna is Parakya Ras. Parakya Ras means the relationship of paramours, not a married relationship. How is this? It is said this Parakya Ras, or that relationship, in the spiritual world, is higher than the Swakya Ras, than the marital relationship. Not in this world. But in this world, everything is twisted. Because in this world, the original love of the spiritual world has transformed into lust. And therefore now, Parakya Ras is degraded. But in the spiritual world, love is the essence and the center. And therefore, the marital relationship would be secondary of its nature because marriage comes with responsibility. Have you noticed? Marriage, there are symbols to remind you of that. The picture of the marriage is somewhere on the wall to remind you, you are married. In case you forgot. In case you didn't remember it today. Only remember that yesterday, the pictures on the walls, the first thing in the morning, you don't forget, but you remember, you are married, and you have a ring on your finger to remind you of your responsibility. And you have obligations, yes, to your family. You have obligations to the wife, and vice versa also. That parental relationship, that parakeet relationship is not like that. That parakeet relationship is based on the principle of conquering. One has to conquer again and again. It's not that now we are together. Krishna is described as Lampato. Lampato means he is unreliable. He cannot be trusted. Srimati Radharani, when that bumblebee came to Vrindavan, Krishna had left. The gopis were all in separation. Uddhava came to Vrindavan. Uddhava, who looked so close to Krishna, as being his cousin, looked very similar to him, dressed similar to him. Just by seeing him, one was remembering Krishna, and all the gopis immediately came forward to see who is this person who looks so much like Krishna. But not Srimati Radharani. She was too much absorbed in her own separation, and she never saw Uddhava. But she saw the bumblebee. And when this bumblebee came, she saw he was blackish and yellow, and therefore she took it, messenger of Krishna. And she said to him, "You unreliable servant of an unreliable master." And yes, this is exactly the nature of Krishna. It's inconceivable. It is just a tragedy, really. Srimati Radharani, her love is completely pure and unalloyed. 100% in every fiber of her existence, she is dedicated to Krishna. And Krishna? There are rumors that Krishna today is somehow or other in the groves of Chandravali. That rumor is there. It hasn't been fully confirmed, but he is sort of close to there. He was seen not far away from there. And then he was not seen again. So suspicion is there that he might be now with Srimati Radharani. Unreliable. So how all these things are possible? How all these things are conceivable? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is writing about this, and is writing how one day in Yavat, and Srimati Radharani was there with her friends, and Jyotila was just for a moment not there. Just then, this goddess appeared. A goddess appeared in the courtyard of the house. And the goddess was there, very effulgent. So, just Srimati Radharani and the other gopis, Kundalata was there to keep an eye on her. Jyotila trusted Kundalata. And then, they all saw this amazing goddess. And who is this personality? So Srimati Radharani sent someone out to welcome the goddess and to sort of find out who she was. But the goddess wouldn't speak. She wouldn't speak. And another messenger went, and still she would not speak. So then Srimati Radharani concluded, she must be aggrieved. She must be here in a state of unhappiness that she's not speaking. So she went herself and she said, My dear lady, we don't know from where you came, nor do we know who you are, but seeing your glories, we think you must be a goddess. But somehow or other, we see that you have been overcome by some sadness, and that therefore you are not speaking now. And I must tell you that you are here amongst young girls just like you, who can understand, who can understand the depth of your feelings. And therefore, if you express your heart to us, you will feel some relief. So the goddess was indeed touched by the words of Srimati Radharani. And subsequently, that goddess spoke and said, yes, it is true. My heart is indeed aggrieved. And yes, it is true that I am a goddess. Yes, we demigods, right? We are flying in the sky in our celestial vimanas, in our planes, and we are witnessing all the pastimes that you are performing with Krishna. And we have seen everything. It is said that the phones are all on silent today. Please. So it is said that as the demigods are flying in their planes, that the male demigods, they cannot see the female personalities in the Rasvila exchanges with Krishna. They can only see Krishna. But the demigoddesses, they can see the females. So we see everything. We have witnessed everything. And then the goddess said, and it is just unbearable to see how Krishna is treating you. It's just too much. You give him everything in love and dedication, and just see how he is dealing with you. He's not faithful. He is not faithful. While you are always dedicated to him, he goes here and there like a bee from flower to flower. How can we tolerate this? It is just too much. Then how can we tolerate that he leaves you and that you have to burn in feelings of separation? Srimati Radharani said, No, it's not like that. No, it is not like that. You have not understood. Rather, Krishna and I are one. We are one because we are never separated, because I am always thinking of Krishna and Krishna is always thinking of me, and therefore we are one in thought. Then the goddess said, my dear Srimati Radharani, I can appreciate that you are thinking like that, and that you would like to think like that. But how do you know that what you think is actually true? Srimati Radharani said, no, I know it's true. And how do you know, the goddess said, how do you know it's not wishful thinking? And then the goddess said, but I'll believe it. I'll believe it if that you are one, if you, simply by thinking about Krishna, by meditating about Krishna, can bring about the same consciousness in him as you are thinking about Krishna. He must be thinking about you, so you said, one in thought. Then if you think about bringing Krishna here, then Krishna must manifest here. All right, Srimati Radharani said, all right. And she sat down in deep meditation, thinking of bringing Krishna here. And since Krishna is one in thought, Krishna was thinking of her also. And since she was thinking of bringing Krishna here, Krishna came. And when she opened her eyes, Krishna had appeared. And Srimati Radharani was overwhelmed, but then said, "Where has that goddess gone?" Krishna said, "Oh, she had to leave." And in this way, Radha and Krishna met, and we can understand who that goddess actually was all along. Testing her love, to see if it actually was complete. Not that it was sort of partial, but that it really was 100% dedication. Because that is the nature of parakīya rasa. It is never taken for granted. One has to conquer again and again, every moment. And that is the nature of devotional service. That is not only the nature for Srimati Radharani. That is the nature of devotional service. Because devotional service is of the nature of Ladini Shakti. Not only is Srimati Radharani Ladini Shakti, but devotional service itself is of that same nature of Ladini Shakti or of the pleasure potency. Therefore, all devotional service is aimed at pleasing Krishna. But that devotional service, in order to capture Krishna, the aim of the devotee is to serve. And it is said, the devotee is not asking for anything in return. Yeah, but the devotional service is described as loving devotional service. And the nature of love is that it wants to capture. Where there's love, there's embrace. Holy, don't let go. Not letting go. Radha and Krishna, when they embraced, they wouldn't let go. They didn't want to let go. At the end of the night, they wouldn't let go. That is the nature of embrace, an expression of love. We want to hold. No, cannot go. We want to capture. Therefore, the nature of love is that it wants to capture. And the nature of devotional service is that it wants to capture. So although we are not asking anything from our service, please give me my salary. I've been cooking for hours. That was 3,500 of cooking. Here's the bill. Okay. Where's my payment? Lots of Radhasthami is an expensive day. Lots of cooks there. There's a traffic jam in the kitchen this morning. That's very crowded. Yes. So, no. It is selfless devotional service. Not asking for any reward. But yet, a desire to capture Krishna. That is the nature of devotional service. We desire to capture Krishna. But if we wish to capture Krishna, that is very difficult. We notice it for a moment. For a moment, we do something extraordinary, and for a moment, we feel really inspired, actually. For a moment, Krishna consciousness is magic, and then we go back to the regular level of mechanical devotional service. Devotional service where we are just, again, in the routine. I have to finish my rounds, I have to rise in the morning, I have to do all my devotional duties. Do I really have to put the tilak again? So much work. And all these things are there. The laziness sets in again. The routine sets in again. Pure devotional service. To always, at every moment, be completely focused, 100%. That is aitki apatiyata. That is uninterrupted, unmotivated. Sabai pumsa parulda no yadabhaktira duksa. Jai aitki apatiyata. yet must supersede a tea. It is that devotional service that can only please Krishna. And then subsequently, we are automatically pleased also. Then we are also pleased, completely pleased. That is the only secret to become pleased. But we appreciate that there are devotees that are greater than us. Somehow or other here on the Vyasasana, the lighting on Srila Prabhupada is really wonderful, because when we look, I can see, you have to look behind you, and you will see that Srila Prabhupada is so effulgent and amongst all of us, shining. That's really how it was. Srila Prabhupada was so effulgent and so present. And all of us can very easily understand that he is more qualified to please Krishna than we are. I don't think there's anyone in the room who would think that he could compete with Prabhupada in terms of pleasing Krishna. If there's anyone like that in the room, then, you know, I have some pills for you. Don't worry. We'll settle that. Yes. So, and Prabhupada is the humble servant of his spiritual master, who is the humble servant of his spiritual master, who is the humble servant in the line going back all the way to Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the humble servant of the most prominent of the eight sakis, Lalita, who is always there along with Srimati Radharani. And in that way, we are understanding that to really please Krishna, we have to become an assistant. Not that we come in the temple, we go before the deities, and we have brought the biggest pack of milk. A wheelbarrow. They took home, others they bring little bottle. Look what I'm bringing, wheelbarrow of milk. I am the greatest. Yes. I am the greatest devotee. Slap my cheeks, pull my ears, bend my knees, call out loud, Radhe! Like that. And now everybody knows it. Ah, yes. Oh, such great devotee. Look. Oh, so much milk and so loud chanting. Radhe Shyam. Oh, he must be the greatest devotee. Oh, like this. No. It's the servant. It is actually this constant focus in the process of bhakti means in service. The cutting edge is the service. To somehow or other always serve, to always take that position of the servant, to always be ready to give the glory to another personality, to a superior personality, to worship that superior personality, to become like the property of that superior personality. That is the only way. That is why the guru is the representative. Srimati Radharani represents Guru Tattva. Both Nityananda and Radharani are representing Guru Tattva. And Guru Tattva is more than a pin-up button on a beat bag. Guru Tattva is more than... Guru Tattva is the center of our life. It's everything to be the servant of our spiritual master. It's everything to us to be the servant of our spiritual master. And to understand that our spiritual master is the servant of his spiritual master, and that we are going all the way back to Srimati Radharani, because our line of acharyas, in our line, we are in Radha Dasya. We belong in that camp. That is our camp. That is the camp of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that. It is, he came in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and his associates are in the mood of serving Srimati Radharani and pleasing Srimati Radharani, understanding that we can serve Krishna more by assisting a greater Vaishnava. And that whole principle is the principle of Radhasri. There are many stories. There are so many amazing pastimes. Playful. The meetings between Radha and Krishna then are stolen moments, because it is paragi aras, forbidden moments, hidden moments. Moments too short. Always too short. Even if Krishna can make the entire night of the Rasa Lila as long as the night of Brahma, which is, from our perspective, rather on the long side, too short. It's still too short. It will always be too short. Anyway, Krishna finds many ways. One time, Krishna came into Vrindavan in tiger skin, with matted locks and fiery eyes, well disguised as a yogi. And he was, and everyone was seeing, a very powerful yogi has come to Vrindavan. A powerful yogi has come. The rumor spread fast, and they didn't have television or internet, so you can understand that it was, something was happening, so everyone came to see the yogi. And as they came to see that yogi, the yogi said, yes, my tapas is so great, that it's unmatched in the three worlds. Said, I know, as a result of my tapas, I know past, present, and future. I know everything you can desire. I will now go into seclusion to continue my tapas. But if any of you wish to visit me for some benedictions, then tatas do. So be it. So in this way, Krishna set the stage, and in the course of time, Srimati Radharani came for the benediction. And Krishna said, because I know past, present, and future, he said, I know everything. I know what is in your heart. I know what is on your mind. And your desire will be fulfilled. Close your eyes. So she closed her eyes. And then again, Krishna was there. And this time the yogi was gone. He fulfilled her desire. So many varieties are there in the pastimes. Sometimes the theme seems to be a little similar, but they don't worry about that. They don't worry about that, because the nature of the spiritual world is different than the nature of the material world. In the material world, you have to squeeze very, very hard to get one drop of juice. To ring it and you get a drop of juice out of there, it's good. Sense gratification. Yes, it's good. And then again, you find something else, you have to squeeze that very hard to get some juice out of it. But in the spiritual world, ras, juice, is everything. Everything is so filled with juice. So here we always need something new, something completely new, to get some taste of juice. But there, the basic themes can be the same. But the details, they change again and again. And because there's such deep loving exchange. it is in that way, always fresh and always increasing the love. One of my favorite points, and I'll end with that, in the Adi Lila chapter 4 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is where it is said that Krishna, that Srimati Radharani's love is unlimited. And her love is unlimited and she embraces every quality of Krishna. And then she discovers another quality of Krishna, because Krishna's qualities are unlimited. Then she embraces that quality also. And her love is increasing. And so in this way, her love is eternally increasing. And that's not only Srimati Radharani's love. That is the nature of devotional service. In devotional service, our love, our attachment to Krishna is eternally increasing. Of course, with us, minuscule. From last year Radhasthami to this year Radhasthami, little. No? But Srimati Radharani, her love is just increasing and increasing. And in this way, you can just imagine the spiritual world, an ocean of unlimited devotees whose love is eternally increasing. And then what happens? Because the love of these devotees is increasing, then Krishna's love for his devotees is also increasing. And in this way, the ocean of transcendental love, known as Premamritambo, is eternally increasing. And this is really how it is. It is not just Radha and Krishna, but it is Radha and Krishna with hundreds and millions of goddesses of fortune, with unlimited cowherd boys, with unlimited calves, and unlimited devotees. And this is also where we belong, in eternal service to Radha and Krishna, being part of these eternal pastimes. I thank you very much. I've used up the time. Sri Radhasthami Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai.